The same scripture that we're dealing with is Isaiah 61, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. And what we'd like to do is start first with our Lord. We go to Revelation 5, verse 9. And their voices are sounding in a new song, saying, it is right for you to take the book and to make it open, for you were put to death and have made an offering to God of your blood for men, every tribe, every language, every people and language. Verse 11, and I saw, and there came to my ears the sound of great trumpets, great number of angels around about the high seat and rulers, and the number of them was tens thousands times ten thousands times thousands, saying in a great voice, it is right to give to the Lamb who was put to death power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And to my ears there came a voice of everything in heaven and earth and under the earth and in the sea and all the things that are saying to them, to him who is seated on a high seat and to the Lamb may be blessing and honor and glory and power be given forever and ever. And who do we look to for our tall tree, for our example of how Jesus stood faithful in the midst of trials? I'm thinking of when he was before Herod, when he was before the Sanhedrin. He stood tall. He stood tall in the face of honoring the Lord and the truth. And he stood tall, and he gave us an example that we could follow in his footsteps. He gave us the example of being able to stand tall in opposition. The other two individuals I was thinking of that stand tall are Paul and Barnabas. We read in Philippians 1:14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. But after we have first undergone much pain and cruelty, attacked, as you saw at Philippi, by the help of God, we give you the good news without fear, though everything was against us. For our witness does not come from error or from human or from unclean heart or from deceit. But even as the good news was given to us by the approval of God, so it is given out, not as pleasing men, but God, by whom our hearts are tested. You look at how Paul and Barnabas stood tall amongst all the opposition, all the difficulties, all the efforts that Paul went through, stoned, beaten, shipwrecked, dealt with false brethren. But what did Paul do? He stood tall. He stood firm in the Lord. He was faithful in what he did, no matter what experience God gave him. Another example is we go in Revelation 2:19. It's the church at Thyatira, the fourth stage of the church. This church was in the dark ages, at the height of papal power. Very dark, very little truth. But yet we have a group of brethren who stood tall, who stood faithful, regardless of what opposition, regardless of what difficulties happened to them. They clung to the truth that they had. They did not waver in their love for the truth and for the Lord. And we'd like to have Sister Karen Sue Baker. Could you share that with us? Mark, is able to have Sister Karen do that?
Yeah, I'm unmuted.
Okay, go, Karen.
Okay. Revelation 2:19. I know everything about you, including your faith, your love, your service, and how you have endured. I know that you are doing more now than if you have ever done before. The Waldenses departed from the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church by rejecting some of the seven sacraments. The confession of sins was guided by their leaders, but did not require a priest. They rejected the use of indulgences. Baptism was to be by full immersion in water and was not to be administered to infants. Eventually, the elements of the Eucharist, bread and wine, were understood as symbols only, and the Waldenses denied the doctrine of transubstantiation. They also rejected the notion of purgatory and of prayers offered for the dead. They accepted the Bible as the sole total authority of all doctrine. Additionally, a formal church building was not viewed as necessary to worship God, and thus many Waldenses held services in their homes, stables, or other locations. Rome responded vigorously, turning from excommunication to active persecution and execution. Though the Waldenses confessed regularly, celebrated communion once a year, fasted, and preached poverty, they repudiated such Roman practices as the veneration of saints, and because they did not believe in taking oaths, they refused to recognize secular courts.
Brethren, can you relate to our Waldensee brethren? Can you relate to where they stood? They saw papacy for what it was, and they stood tall, as we read in, I think it's in the third volume, on how these brethren suffered persecution to the point where papacy tracked them down and murdered them, but yet they did not waver. They stood tall in their beliefs. They stood tall and held firm to the peace. Can you, brethren, can you relate to these Waldenses? Can you relate to how they celebrated, if you would, communion or memorial once a year? Can you relate to where they didn't meet in churches, but in regular homes, stables, or other locations? Can we relate to the sole authority of all doctrine? These are one of my favorite group of brethren in church history because of what little truth they had. They clung to it no matter what the cost, no matter what it cost them physically, emotionally, economically. They held to the but. Another individual who stood tall against papacy. Martin Luther's, I'm sure we've heard this before, but one of the things that his quotes was when he was before the council, when they asked him to recant, he stood, I think, tall. And what he said, I'll read it, and that echoes, I think, down to by the testimony of the scriptures or by clear reason. I am bound by the scriptures. I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is. May God help me. Brethren, don't we say the same thing? Don't we say, unless you convince me by scriptures or by clear reasoning, we are bound by what the scriptures teach. Our conscience is held captive to the word of God. We cannot do anything less. Just like Martin Luther stood tall and took on the most powerful institution the world has ever known. What he said and what he did, I believe that it echoes. And tall, and we can relate to what Martin Luther said, and that we embrace what he said, that I am bound by the scriptures. And what did they do? They stood tall and opened up the beginning. From that point onward, the truth started to become more clearer and clearer, little by little. And we should rejoice in what he did as he stood tall. Brother Harry, are you able to play this?
Also, Brother Ed, sometimes your voice is lagging behind and chattering. If there is anyone else in your house that is using the internet on a phone or on a computer, have them get off, and that'll give you more bandwidth.
Okay.
I'm sorry. No, I do not have it.
Okay. One of the songs that was the hallmark of the Reformation, written by Martin Luther, was a mighty, if you get a chance, listen to it. It's on YouTube, and it's sung by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. It's called "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." What we'd like to do is have Brother Brent Kramer read the hymn, "The Solid Rock."
Go ahead, Brother Ed.
Brother Brent, go ahead.
Okay. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to veil his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. God's oath, his covenant, and Christ's blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Thank you, Brother Brent. Where is our foundation that we stand on? It's what Christ did for us. We build our foundation on the ransom sacrifice, Jesus giving his life, not only for us, but for the entire world. Everything we believe, everything we hope to be, everything that not only for us, but for the whole world of mankind, rest on what Jesus did for us and for the whole world. On this rock, on this belief in the ransom, is what we stand on. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground, we will fall. But because of our faith, because we stand tall in our belief in the ransom, restitution, resurrection, and return of our Lord, we stand tall, don't we, brethren? We stand on this solid rock, this foundational truth that has been passed down to us. Let's hold fast, hold firm to these truths. Keep this vision of what has been passed on to us before our minds.
Brother Ed, I have him if you would like me to play that.
No, we're moving on.
Okay, sorry.
There's a poem that I came across that I really liked. Brethren, as the world's changed, we all know, in the last 3 months, we see the end more than what we did 3 months ago. We see we're heading down the home. It may be a little difficult because of the perplexities of life. But in this poem, it says, keep striving. The winners are those who have striven and have fought for the prize that no idler hath won. To the hands of the steadfast alone it is given, and before it is gained, there is work to be done. Keep hoping. The clouds hide the sun for a time, but sooner or later they scatter and flee, and the paths glow like gold to the toilers who climb to the heights where men look over landscape and sea. Keep onward, right on, till the prize is obtained. Front the future with courage, and obstacles fall by those and only those the victories gained. Look not to self, but to God above. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. The pastor's comments, there can be no victory except as we keep the faith, our trust in the Lord as our Redeemer, and in his ability to help, not only including the church's victory in the first resurrection, but the victory of all that shall ultimately be saved through the millennial age. Be steadfast. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Stay strong. 1 Corinthians 16. Adhere to fixed principles. Unmovable. To be established in present truth signifies that our faith is steadfast and immovable. Faith sees the accomplished victory of the future and even now exalts and rejoices in the privilege of cooperating with the Redeemer, spending time, energy, and life. Habakkuk 2:2. Brother West gave an excellent blessing on this. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tables, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It will certainly come. It will not delay. Brethren, don't these words inspire us? Don't they speak to us now, as Brother West said? Don't they give us a focus for the joy set before us? We don't see it tarrying. We see it marching on. We see this vision that has given us for the past 100+ years in this harvest period, this vision of finishing off the church, removing this present evil order, and establishing the new. Brethren, run faithfully. Stand fast in this vision that we have. Do not let it grow dim. Keep it before our mind. Keep this joy before us. Keep this heavenly vision of the. Keep this before us that we can stand tall when the winds and difficulties of life come to us. Take courage, brethren. The journey is not long. We're heading down the home stretch like in a horse race. The finish line is in view. Keep carrying, hoping. The vision will come to pass. We'd like to have Sister Karen Wildblood read this. This was very encouraging to me. Courage, morning dawns.
Okay. Though thine eyes be sad with weeping, through the night thy vigils keeping, God shall wipe thy tears away, turn thy darkness into day. though the night be dark and dreary, though the way be long and weary, morn shall bring thee light and cheer. Child, look up, the morn is near. Though thy spirit faint with fasting, through the hour so slowly wasting, morn shall bring a glorious feast. Thou shalt sit an honored guest, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord.
Brethren, as we strive, as we endure, as we strive to put away the world, the flesh, and the adversary, strive and stand firm as we hold fast to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Stand fast in our faith, putting on this full armor, for we know, as it was brought out earlier today, that the adversary will come at us. We need this full armor. Why was it given us? So that we can stand firm in the Lord, that we can become little by little victorious, day by day, coming a little bit more faithful. Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. To live according to the lines marked out in scriptures. Rise from the ashes of discouragement. Lift the cross with renewed zeal. Our captain will lead us. Our captain will guide us. We have a shepherd. We have a fellow yoke bearer. Faint not, brethren. Our captain will lead us to victory if we faint not. Labor diligently, fervently, to the extent of our opportunities and abilities. Pray in faith, nothing doubting. Brethren, look around us. Look around in our ecclesias. Look around the brethren that we know. Many of our brethren have fought the fight, good fight of faith, for many long years. When you talk to these brethren, that glow, that joy, that sparkle in their eye hasn't left them. They have fought the fight. They continue to rejoice in the truth. These are tall trees around us, brethren, not only in our ecclesias, but also the brethren that we come in contact with. Rejoice in these tall trees. They are fighting the good fight of faith for many years. And just like our oak trees out in our yard, they are still standing. Their roots run deep. Their leaves of profession run tall, run deep. Their faith is an inspiration. Why? Because they have stood tall during the test of time. But not only these brethren, but brethren that have gone before us, brethren that are around, the isolated brethren, the twos, the threes, the one. Many of you may be online right now. You stand tall in the faith, in the present truth that the Lord has given us. Rejoice in the Lord. Fight the good fight. And the Lord will grant you a blessing. We also think of our brethren around the world. This is one brother whom I've become very acquainted. This is Brother Eliezer. He's in my mind, a tall tree. Very faithful. And we'd ask Brother Tim Armstrong, when we were talking to Brother Eliezer about this convention, we asked him if he'd be so kind to write us a letter of encouragement. And this is what he did. And we'd ask Brother Tim Armstrong if he'd write Eliezer's letter to us.
One, two, three.
Coming across.
Dear beloved brethren in Christ, whom we have been made to drink together into one spirit. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:13 said, "For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit." End quote. Love, mercy, and peace of God be multiplied unto you by Christ Jesus, our dear captain. Blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus, our glorious Father in heaven, who has called us to great and exceeding blessings of which our minds could not have asked nor spoken of. Glory and honor be unto him forever and ever. Amen. I love to share with you some of the so many blessings granted us, things belonging to our peace now. How did God visit the Gentiles to take out a people belonging, especially selected for his name? Hence, are we privileged to take on the one cup and unleavened bread? Rejoicing in this high calling, ready for a covenant of the people. In Isaiah 42:6, we read, "I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles." End quote. Below are five lessons among many I have learned, vital to make our calling and election sure. Number one, given unto me exceeding great and precious promises of God. That's the gold. Truth, that's silver. And precious stones, those types, dreams, and visions, so as to raise formidable faith pillars. Over 150 pillars already raised. Number two, the right use of my pound and talents is so diligently profit by all means of grace for the spiritual upbuilding of myself and other brethren, so should all. Number three, never doubt God. Take him gladly by his word. Remember the children of Israel who doubted God by sending 12 spies to the promised land to see whether it was good land and whether they could take it, which things the Lord had already promised them, and how Caleb, who believed God's word, his flesh was stayed, not weakened at all, for 45 years until he entered, realized the promises. For Caleb wholly followed the Lord thy God. Amen. Number four, my daily scrutiny / evaluation. Let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to my Father and God. Therefore, kill all evil and unpleasant thoughts and ideas. Number five, Proverbs 16:32 says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." Judge self always, and set personal resolutions before the Lord, and his gracious enough for our help. The Lord our God is very faithful unto me and unto all who will trust in him. No good word of his promise is not fulfilled regards us in Christ. It caused thanksgiving in my heart, not murmuring. Blessed be his holy name. Amen. And finally from Galatians 6:16, "And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God." Over.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Encouraging words from our brother Eliezer, staying faithful, reminding us the importance of the promises, having unwavering faith in God. Daily scrutinize ourselves. Make resolutions before the Lord. Be faithful unto the Lord in his word, in his truth, with thanksgiving, so that by doing these, that we can walk tall, that we can stand firm in the truth, that we can stand firm in the promises that our Father has provided for us. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, either by word or letter from or mouth from us. Remember our faithful brethren that are in the nursing homes that can't get out like they used to. These brethren are still holding fast to the truth. They are holding fast to what they have been taught and cherish in their hearts. They hold fast to what they have been taught. Hymn 44, the wealth warfare. With calm and tempered zeal, let me proclaim thy plan and vindicate thy gracious will, which offers life to man. Oh, may I love like thee, and love declare thy ways, and help the blind ones to see the truth declares thy praise. Oh, teach me, Lord, the art with wisdom to remove the errors that deceive the heart, the truth to clearly prove. Oh, arm me with the mind, meek lamb that was in thee, and let my fervent zeal be joined with grace and charity. Control my every thought, my talents all enlist, and may zeal to judgment brought prove true beneath thy test. Hebrews 3:6, but Christ was a faithful son as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm unto the end. Our hope, not in the hope in our own righteousness, but in Christ, his redemptive work, firm unto the end. Those who overcome the temptations of the world, dying daily, shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us remember the importance of patient endurance, consistency, that we take joyfully every trial, every persecution, every difficulty which God may permit for our testing and for our ripening of our character. Repent 54:96. Our hope. Hebrews 6:10. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and love which you have shown towards his day, and having ministered and still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Brethren, our Father is not forgetful of our standing firm, of our love towards him, and towards those that love him. Show diligence. Realize the full assurance of hope unto the end. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand firm in the Lord. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hold fast, be steadfast, brethren. Hold fast to this hope that we have set before us. Don't let it go. Hold it tight close to you, that we can run faithfully to the end. Unless we do not hold fast, I believe we will lose everything, because what difference does it make about the economy going down? What difference does it make if we lose our jobs? The important thing is that we hold fast our faith without wavering, that we continue faithfully in the truth that was delivered to the saints, that we stay faithful to the old path. Test of our loyalty will continually come. We know that it will come. There will be temptations to try to discourage us. Stay steadfast, brethren. Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. To live according to the lines marked out in the scriptures through the words of Jesus and the apostles. Rise from the ashes of discouragement and lift the cross with renewed zeal. I know we said this before, but stay faithful, brethren. Stay fervent. Labor diligently to the extent of our opportunities and our abilities. Colossians 1:23. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. The faith of the church should not stand in the wisdom, vain philosophies of men. But what? In the power of God. To be settled means the convictions of truth, so rooted and grounded in God's word that we cannot be moved therefrom. A condition of uncertainty is not a condition of faith, but our faith is rooted and grounded just like the oak trees in our front yard. Their roots run deep in the soil. So our faith runs deep, runs solid, because we have built a foundation that cannot be moved. Revelation 3:10. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I have also kept you from the hour of testings, the hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Verse 11, I am coming quickly. Hold fast that you have, so no one will take your crown. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a what? Crown of the life. Do not let slip the blessed relationship entered into when the Master made you acceptable through your covenant to be dead with him. Hold fast to this covenant of sacrifice, brethren. Be of good courage. It will be not long until our Lord says, Be faithful, and I will give you a crown of life. All to which his word testifies as truth. Hold fast to that. Remember, brethren, a crown which has been apportioned to you. Hold fast. The crown is yours now by virtue of the arrangement with your advocate. in your covenant of sacrifice. Hold fast your crown. The crown of life is laid up for the overcomers, brethren. Hold fast. Cling to. Do not let go. The end is near. Brethren, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the world, the flesh, and the adversary. Battle for the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. Battle with self is the greatest battle. A battle for victory over one's weaknesses. Fight that fight, brethren. Our fighting is on our own behalf and on behalf of each other. We are fighting to the death in self-defense to maintain our liberty and that of each other. A continual warfare between the old creature and the new, and a final victory of one means the destruction of the other. Fight the good fight of faith, Father or brethren. Our God said through Paul, it is a good thing to do. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. It is there before us. It is there to reclaim it, because we want to be with our Heavenly Father. Remember today's manna. I will be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Blink your eyes, brethren, when faithful. That's how fast we will be changed. This flesh will put on immortality. We will be with our Heavenly Father. Fight the good fight, brethren. Lay hold of eternal life. Just like our mighty oak trees that we have in our yard, they're battered, they're beat up. The winds have trimmed many of their branches, but they still stand. They're weather beaten. They're beaten from the heat of the summer, but they still stand. Old branches are broken, but they still stand. Their roots run deep, but they still stand. A tree grows during the wintertime, the most unfavorable time of the year. They grow. So it's like us, brethren. We're at times beaten down, battered up, windswept, the experiences of cold winter, of discouragement. But yet, we still stand tall. Yet, we still fight the good fight of faith. Yet, we, for the joy set before us, we disregard the shame. In what? If faithful, sit down at the right hand of God. Brethren, this heavenly vision is before us. Keep this vision, as in Habakkuk, alive and before our minds. Do you see the heavenly Jerusalem? Do you see the kingdom coming to pass? Do you see our King grandly marching on? Do you see our returned and reigning King, our Lord, taking control of this earth? Brethren, this should inspire. This is one of the most exciting times that we can live in. Why? Because before our very eyes, we're seeing what all the prophets and apostles were looking forward to. Stand tall in the hope of the truth set before us, brethren. Fight the good fight of faith. Hold fast, and just like our old trees in our yard, they stand tall. Brethren, may the Lord add his blessing.